Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. What do a cross-dressing comedy set deep in the forest of Ardennes and the wondrous and slightly alarming existence of bioluminescent creatures have in common? Well, both involve things mysteriously glowing in the dark. Nature, as ever, contains multitudes. We humans have always been fascinated by glow, embers in a fire, what I refer to on my camping trips as caveman TV. Moonlight playfully peeking through the tree canopy, and the flying lanterns of luminosity fireflies who appear to signal that summer is drawing to a close. And somewhere in the middle of all that luminous wonder, our fair uncle quietly gives English a new use for the word, not merely heat, but radiance, through his use of glow. In William's As You Like It, the court has gone sour. Duke Signor is banished by his usurping brother, Orlando is bullied by his own, and nearly everyone worth liking is driven into the forest, William's leafy rehab clinic for bruised hearts and questionable life choices. Rosalind, who is also banished, disguises herself as the young man Ganymede, with Celia as her rustic companion, and soon discovers Orlando, the object of Rosalind's love, wandering the woods, pining and pinning dreadful love poems to innocent trees. By Act 3, Rosalind, still hidden behind her boyish disguise, has agreed to cure Orlando of his love by pretending to be Rosalind, which is either therapy, theater, or emotional fraud. Just before Corin, Arden's rustic and kind-hearted shepherd invites them to witness yet another case of pastoral love sickness, Silvius worshipping the scornful Phoebe.
Who comes here?
Mistress and master, you have oft inquired after the shepherd that complained of love, who you saw sitting by me on the turf, praising the proud, disdainful shepherdess that was his mistress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what of him?
If you will see a pageant truly played between the pale complexion of true love and the red glow of scorn and proud disdain, go hence a little, and I shall conduct you, if you will mark it.
Oh, come, let us remove. The sight of lovers feedeth those in love.
Now, before Uncle Will gets hold of it, glow was already smoldering quietly away in English lexicon, as well as inside Elizabethan charities for the sick. By the 15th century, forms like glauen and glau appear, often in medical or scientific writing, referring primarily to heat, fever, warmth, the giving off of heat from the body. Not brightness exactly, more like a simmering, something cooking internally. Which, to be fair, also describes about 90% of William's relationships in his plays, and don't get me started on the sonnets. The roots likely connect to older Germanic words associated with glowing embers or radiant heat, things not yet aflame, but clearly considering it. Today, glow suggests the welcoming warmth of a campfire, the radiance of an expectant mother, the magical late summer lightning bug booty of illumination, and occasionally, whatever skincare products celebrities are currently claiming change their lives. But William's usage keeps something older alive beneath the surface, that emotions do not stay hidden. Eventually, they shine through, feeling made visible, the heart quietly illuminating itself for all to see, whether it is the warm glow of affection or the fiery furnace of disdain. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.